Tune into Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Psy's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Psy's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the love of our lives, the wind beneath our wings and the beat of our hearts, the rhythm of the universe, and also the current that keeps it in motion, alive to the minutest atom. Sai Ram, dear listeners, good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You are tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I thank you for staying with us on this Thursday morning, September the 7th, 2017. The exact time in the ashram right now is 37 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. I'm early by 3 minutes on purpose because I have lots of content to share with you. Current weather conditions in Prashanti Nilayam are easy, breezy, but a tad muggy, which makes it a bit warm for my liking in the afternoons. Otherwise, this continues to be my heaven on earth. Our temperatures are in the range of early 30s to low 20s, and that is in Celsius with a mix of sun and cloud. It's just that the little bit of humidity gets on my nerves sometimes, but not complaining. And that too on Radio Sai. No, never. Since last Thursday live, dear listeners, we have had quite a bit of rains in the valley. We had rains almost every afternoon for Friday, Saturday, Sunday and so on, and during the night too on some occasions. So finally I can say with confidence that the ground here is somewhat better hydrated and the Valley of Supreme Peace is lush green despite the delayed monsoon this year. Meanwhile, you dear sisters and brothers are receiving a downpour of Bhagwan's grace right now through Morning Glory on Radio Sai's Thursday Live. And I, your host Karuna, wish you a Sai-filled day ahead. May everything Sai-sum come your way. Coming up on Morning Glory, a fine interview with a finer person, highly refined, highly respected member of the Indian judiciary, who seems to have been groomed as a role model to humanity. Why do I say so? Today, he heads the Andhra Pradesh Telangana High Court, but along the way to his success, he grew up as a Sri Satya Sai Balvika student and comes from a family of Sevadals. It was one of my life's rare privileges to sit across from a person of his stature and sagacity, his humility and devotion, and hear and learn of his experiences, which have many lessons to share, including some very painful ones. Coming up in a bit, a Radio Sai exclusive interview, Triswit Divinity with the Honorable Justice, Sri V. Ram Subramanian. V. Ram Subramanian, I beg your pardon. This is definitely a must-listen and re-listen to interview for its wisdom, clarity, candor and purity. In my humble opinion, this is a certified organic dose of Sai experiences. Please don't miss it. This will be followed by another interview, which is a Turbo Gear Seva Activities Report from a very, very driven Sai Samiti in Bhavnagar in Gujarat. Another one of my favorites, and I'll tell you more about it after you have heard Justice Ram Subramanian's interview. And in between the two interviews, I will share with you the feedback to my question for our listeners last week. So please stay with Radio Sai for the rest of your day. But first, let's enjoy Triswit Divinity with Honorable Justice V. Ram Subramanian. And I'm so happy to serve you this booster shot of Sai inspiration on this lovely Thursday morning in Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of supreme peace. Have a listen, please. Sai Ram, dear listeners, Radio Sai is pleased to welcome Honorable Justice V. Rama Subramanian of the Telangana and Andhra Pradesh High Court to our studios today, that is on the 28th of March 2017, on the eve of Ugadi, or the Telugu New Year. Our esteemed guest was born 1958, he attended the Vivekananda College in Chennai, from where he earned his Bachelor of Science degree, and he was enrolled as a member of the bar on February 10, 1983. He was appointed additional judge of the Madras High Court on July 31, 2006. Justice V. Ramasubramanian of the Telangana and Andhra Pradesh High Court is recognized for his wit, wisdom and scholarly treatment of complex legal issues. For us here at Radio Sai, this moment is extra special because Justice V. Ramasubramanian belongs to the first batch of Bal Vikas that started sometime in 1968 in the city of Chennai at Chintadari Pet at Lang's Garden Road at the residence of Mrs. Shantamma, who was the wife of Sri W.S. Sri Venkata Ramanjalu. And he also happened to have attended the summer course in Bhagwan's Divine Presence at Brindavan in 1977. And what's astonishing for me to know is that he still retains those notes and refers to them. He's a man of many accomplishments and achievements. And today, very warmly and lovingly, I welcome Sir to Radio Sai. Sairam, Sir.
Sairam. Sairam.
What an honor it is for me to sit across from the Honorable Justice of the Andhra Pradesh and Telangana High Court.
Another thing, madam. In fact, it's all our blessings of our Lord. I always used to say that we call lesser mortals as my Lord. the only Lord is our Lord, and not we the Lords.
Well, that is the judicial system that has been thrust upon us, but we respect it as good citizens. So would you care to tell us about how your journey to Swami began so long ago in 1968?
Actually, our family had many firsts to its credit. Both my parents were blessed to be part of the first batch of Sevadal volunteers. In fact, when Swami started this Sevadal volunteering, it was in Venkatamuni Bangla, Sushila Ma's house in Alvarpet in Chennai. So my father and mother, both of them were inducted into Sevadal, and Swami with his divine hands distributed the badges to both my father and mother. It will be very interesting to note that those days, this dividing line between men and women was very, very, Swami was very particular about it. He would never allow men and women to mingle with each other. Therefore, a query was raised at that time as to, my father naturally had to take my mother in a scooter whenever there was a Nagar Sankirtan, whenever there was a program. Therefore, some doubts were raised whether they, both of them could form part of the Sevadal, because they had to travel together, whether that will tantamount to violating a rule of law in the organization. My father put it across to Swami, and Swami said, if an entire family is devoted to me and they come to do Sai service, I would welcome that most. Therefore, I am happy that both you and your wife are Sevadal volunteers. So that's how when Swami started the first Bal Vikas in Chennai, my parents put me and my elder brother into the first Bal Vikas. I was about 10 years old. We were brought into, me and my elder brother were brought into the first batch of Bal Vikas when it was started in the house of W.S. Krishnaswamy Naidu, who was a retired judge of the Madras High Court. His son Venkatramanjulu and the Venkatramanjulu's wife Shantamma were great devotees. Shantamma's brother P.G. Achyutanandam was also the state president of Sathya Sai Seva Organizations, Tamil Nadu. So that time the Bal Vikas did not have a formal curriculum like what we have today. There were no examinations. It was real fun and enjoyment. We used to look forward to attending Bal Vikas classes because they will tell us all kinds of stories, make us enact dramas from out of those stories. There will be bhajan, there will be meditation, everything will be there. But everything in a very, in a manner that we children liked them the most. Then after being in Bal Vikas for a few years, then pre-Sevadal was started by Bhagwan, because Bhagwan found that there was a gap between students who complete Bal Vikas curriculum and the time when they take to become members of the Sevadal volunteers. So this gap had to be, this gap which arises out of adolescence, Swami filled it up with pre-Sevadal concept. Therefore, after Bal Vikas, I joined the pre-Sevadal. Then after pre-Sevadal, we came into the Samiti. So that's how our journey started, from when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And it's almost about 48, 49 years now.
And what a journey it has been. Mm-hmm. Because I believe the groundwork was done by Baba then.
Yes, yes.
And today, the eminence that you have achieved in your area of jurisprudence and dispensing justice has to a large extent been impacted by the values that were...
Correct. That is certainly I owe it to Swami, because you see, some of the teachings of Swami are very, very simple in nature, but once you put into practice, they assume a proportion that you can't simply imagine. For instance, I always remember Swami telling people that you cannot always oblige, but you can always talk obligingly. So this is a mantra which I don't know. I never thought that I should follow it. It was never, not by any preordained plan that I imbibed it. But then it stuck to my mind so much that today in the court, most of the lawyers who lose cases before me, they go out happily telling me on my face in the court that we would prefer to lose a case before you rather than win a case before a very grudging judge.
Hmm. What a compliment that is.
Therefore, these are some value systems. See, you must make people happy. You may not be able to do anything for them, but then when you do your duty, you may make somebody unhappy. You may make some people happy, depending upon what they deserve in according to law. But this is one thing. Second, you see, the sense of commitment that people should have to the job that they undertake. You know, it's a service. Swami has always said, the hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't have to devote separate time to do seva. If you convert your everyday existence, if you convert your everyday work into service, then that is something which, God really takes care of. So I always consider when I go and sit in the chair that I am doing Swami's service. Once you think that you are not merely dispensing justice, but you are actually doing service to humanity, and you have been ordained by Bhagawan to do that, then the sense of commitment that we have to the job is a little higher than the commitment that any other person would have.
Mm-hmm. Are there pressures?
Certainly not. The pressure of work alone is there, because...
But not...
Not any other pressure. Pressure of work, because of the huge pendency of cases, it sits on our shoulders, but that also, according to me, gives an added advantage. Since there is so much of pressure of work, so many the arrears are mounting, I always have a sense of dedication. I never sit late in court. I never shirk responsibility, because when so many people are waiting in queue to get justice from court, it's not fair on the part of anybody to take the job very lightly. Therefore, the pressure of work also produces a positive reaction.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I understand that a lot of people speak of how Swami has helped them in their life to achieve this and that. Your achievements, you underplay them because you come across as such a humble person. I understand in your case, it was how Swami rescued you after in a disastrous situation that mattered.
Actually, sister, what happens is many people, you know, when today, of course, a little out of the way, pardon me for going a little out of the way, people become devotees, people go to God for conferring worldly, prosperity, material prosperity.
He's our ATM machine.
That's right, exactly. Therefore, we are a little diverted from what we are supposed to when we go to God. Therefore, generally, I have heard people talking about the miracles that Swami has performed in their lives. Swami has saved the lives of many people. Swami has changed the course of the career of many people. That way, many people take pride in saying that I am alive today because of Swami. I am what I am today because of Swami. Mm. Swami did this, Swami did that. Many people say that. But more than that, maybe I am right, maybe I am wrong. But the way Swami molds a person's attitude towards things and his character is more important. Because how you behave, not in times of success, not in times of accomplishments, but in times of disaster, but in times of crisis, is what actually will show to the world whether you have actually followed Swami's path or not. For instance, you see, on the Tamil New Year's Day in the year 2001, that was April 14th, 2001, my younger brother, my father, mother and my sister's son, all of them had traveled to Bangalore to have Swami's darshan on the 11th day of April 2001. 14th April they had their darshan, and 15th April they left Vrindavan to Chennai by car. My brother was driving the car. After crossing Chittoor, about 8 kilometers away from Chittoor, but about 22 kilometers before Ranipet, that was the Tamil Nadu border, there was a head-on collision with a lorry. My mother died on the spot. My father and brother suffered great injuries. My sister's son escaped. So when I got the news and I went to the spot, she was lying there. I cleared her up. I put her in the, took her to the Chittoor government hospital and kept her in the mortuary. Then I left to Vellore Medical College, Chittoor Christian Medical College, Vellore, where my father was writhing in pain. My brother had a head injury. He had multiple fractures, everything. See, even today people talk about, I am not saying this with any sense of pride, but the people talk about the way I handled the situation. I was only focused on what to do next, how do we save the remaining two lives. That was uppermost in my mind. So this, I think the way you handle a crisis, you handle a disaster, is, I think, what is the greatest gift of Bhagwan to any individual.
With calmness and equanimity.
That's right, yes.
Presence of mind.
Yes. Yes.
Most people would lose it at such a moment of deep crisis.
In fact, interestingly, many people thought that I may become a non-believer. Because many people used to come and ask me, "Sir, this has happened to your family. You have been dedicated to Swami for such a long time. It has happened when they were returning after Swami's darshan. How could this happen?" Immediately people ask, "Why should Swami do this to you? Swami doesn't do all this."
What was your answer to them, sir?
I said, "Swami, it's our past karma. The karma that we carry is what actually, face all these situations." There was a great tennis player by name Arthur Ashe. When he was affected with AIDS, people said, "Why should God do this to you?" He said, "When I was the Wimbledon champion, I never asked God, why did you choose me? Therefore, now I will not ask, why did you choose me for this disaster?"
Exactly. And pain has such a cathartic impact on our personalities.
Correct. And it molds. In fact, people expect, when I reached home with my mother's body, people expected me to, because I was completely controlled. I never behaved like as if I was dealing with a third person. So people expected a huge drama at home. The only thing that I did was, whenever people came to me, I just shook hands, but I didn't speak to anybody. Whenever people tried to speak to me, I said, "Please not now, later." I didn't shed a single drop of tear. Because I thought, this is how we'll have to demonstrate to God. You see, if whatever he gives is prasadam, this should also be taken as prasadam.
Very bitter one though. Hard to swallow.
Correct.
All part of strength training.
Correct.
The spiritual path, I guess.
I think that is how we will have to train Balavika students. That's what I think. Not merely to take, the best of everything. The cream I will have, the other things I won't have.
So what are your thoughts on how we can, based on your own experience, the Sai organization or the Sai system can gear more and more people to handle life and its challenges, because you've been through Balvikas and you attended a summer course?
Yes. Actually, I have seen three generations in Sai fold itself. I've seen my father's generation, I've seen my generation of devotees, and I see the next generation of devotees. My father's generation was really, truly, madam, people cutting across all barriers of caste, creed, religion, class. They were so united by a bondage of love.
Mm.
I have seen, you see, when my father was in the hospital, Major R.P.V. Ryaninger, who was older than my father, every day he will never ask my father about the incident, the accident.
Mm.
He will talk to him all cheerful things. My father used to tell him, "Sir, why do you come here?" "No, it's my duty to come." Mm. That's what he will say. That the bondage with which the one generation of people developed this organization is simply amazing.
And he was your Sai family?
Yes.
Okay.
Our extended families, our Sai family was really a family united by the bondage of love.
Mm.
The next generation, my own generation, we were driven by ambitions, we were driven by our own career growth. Therefore, including me, I think we have little drifted away from Swami's goals, though we are able to retain our core values. But I don't know, maybe I am wrong, or this is how every generation speaks about the next generation. I am not very sure. But the next generation, I think, the world has become more challenging for them. Everything is measured only in terms of success and money now. Therefore, our next generation, they have lost the ideals of service, is what I said. So today our duty is to inculcate in our children, in the next generation, bring them back to the fold of service. Swami always used to say, "Nakarmanana prajaya dhanine tyage neyeke amritatva manasuhu." That those ideals, I think we will have to reiterate. And fortunately, we all had direct conversations with Swami in the physical form. The next generation and the generations after, they are only going to hear him from the other. This is one challenge I think we'll have to think about and do something.
Mm-hmm. And you emphasized on seva as being necessary for the current generation. But earlier you said even if we do our duty with the spirit of seva and not able to separate seva, how do you explain that?
It's very simple, madam. If in today what has happened is, mm-hmm. for instance, we have this corporate social responsibility.
Yes.
That is part of the seva that the institutions start doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make tons and tons of black money the wrong way and devote a portion of it for corporate social responsibility, you are doing seva. But then when you do your duty, you are destroying the society, and out of the remains that you have in your destructive mode, you devote part of it to seva. Therefore, we will have to tell our children that when you do your duty, if you can't allot any time to do service, all right, in your duty, do not do anything wrong. Keep a value system. If you keep a value system and do not swerve from the path of dharma and satya, then that itself is great service. Apart from that, you should also devote a portion of your time to do, because the sadhana not only doing your own duty, but also doing something for the others apart from devoting some time.
Mm.
That's how we'll have to match.
I see. Sir, you're in the thick of the Indian legal system and judiciary.
Yes.
Where do you see the place for Swami's values in that system? Because there's such a backlog and there is so much being said about it.
Yes. The backlog is something that we have inherited for a long. So that is not something which we are really going to clear in the near future. I do not think that it's possible. But what I think we should do is, today the commitment to the job, if we have a commitment to the job, and if all of us think, at least a major portion of the persons occupying judiciary think, that what I am doing on the dais as a judge is Swami's work. Therefore, I shall not swerve from the path of righteousness, truth, love and compassion, then the quantity and the quality of justice that you deliver to people will increase. With this increase, however small it might be, you will be able to achieve the target of clearing a lot of arrears.
Mm-hmm. Every day you hear from lawyers telling you two sides of a story, And you know, Baba used to joke that lawyers are liars.
Correct.
And what is your take on that?
In fact, in 1985, when Swami gave an interview, he asked me, it was only 2 years I had become a lawyer at that time. When I told Swami I had become a lawyer, then Swami said, be a lawyer, don't be a liar. He always used to take, it's very difficult these days to sift a chaff from the grain. Every party speaks a lot of lies. Today, it is not a question of a truth versus falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a question of right versus wrong. Today, it is a question of a basket of facts which contain both truth and falsehood versus another basket of facts which also contains truth and falsehood. Therefore, it is impossible today to remove the falsehood from these two baskets and decide them. Even the lawyers, the clients don't tell the lawyers the whole truth and nothing but truth. We will have to decide what is right. In fact, I jokingly used to say that I can't take pride in claiming that I am doing justice. I can only say that I am deciding a dispute between the parties to the best of my abilities.
Mm-hmm.
If I think I am doing justice, then I am thinking too much of myself. Justice is a concept that we can't really understand. If I can a little go out of the way and tell you, narrate mm-hmm. an incident which Please. May be of interest to the readers. There was a dispute between the man and wife. They have parted. The two children. This is something which I think very important. There was the couple had a boy and a girl. The boy was in the 10th standard. The girl was in the 7th standard or so. Both the father was rich. He had put the children in a boarding school. The mother was penniless. She wanted, after all, visiting rights for the children to come to her. The father agreed on paper, but the children refused to go to the mother for no reason. When I called both the couple as well as the children to my chamber to convince the children to go with their mother, at least for 2 days in a week, children refused. The boy, a 10th standard boy, when the mother was crying, my heart was melting, but the boy said, 10-year-old, 10th standard boy said, don't believe my mother, she is putting up a drama. This is the kind of, I am really afraid of what is going to happen in future. Then I sent all of them out. I told that lady, madam, what do you want me to do? Say, I really pity you, but I can't push the children. If suppose you sit in my chair, what will you do? I asked her, because I wanted, she was crying, saying, I am not getting justice in this court. I told her, you tell me in what manner I can dispense justice in this case, I will do that. You sit in my chair and find out. Then she said, sir, now I understand, the son may not agree. You can convince my daughter. Then I sent all of them out. I asked the daughter. After prodding, the daughter said, sir, I am prepared to go with my mother. But if I go with my mother, my father and my brother would not like it. I am dependent on them. Otherwise, my father will discharge me from the boarding school where I am getting a good education. Therefore, I will give you a suggestion. A 7th standard girl was giving me a suggestion. She told me, sir, in the presence of all of them, you compel me to go with my mother. I will roll on the floor. I will cry. I will refuse to go. But that will only be a drama put up in front of my father. So you compel me to go. After I go out, I will happily go with my mother. She asked me to enact a drama. Then I called all of them. I compelled this girl to go. She rolled on the floor. She cried. But I compelled her to go because I and that girl, little girl alone knew the secret. After they went out, I knew that the father, the brother, their lawyer, all of them were so unhappy that they thought that I was doing injustice.
Mm-hmm.
I, that little girl and that mother alone knew that I was doing justice. And probably God knew that I was doing justice. How do you explain this concept of justice?
A lot of dilemmas to deal with.
Yes.
Wow. What do you draw your clarity from?
I draw a clarity only from the fact that I put the responsibility on God. I am not responsible for this. In fact, like a Pilate washed his hands before ordering the crucifixion of Jesus, that he was not responsible for it. I say, I am not responsible for this. You are responsible for this.
Wow. You would have thought it's so complicated too.
Yes, it's very complicated. People think it is easy. If both parties come to court speaking only the truth, it would have been easy for the court to dispense justice. I have seen the families of my friends, relatives, whenever they get entangled in legal problem, when they come to me, when I tell them what is right and what is wrong, people on the wrong, they are not prepared to take it. I have heard my own close family friends telling me, when I tell them that this is what you do is wrong, they tell me, don't speak like a judge, don't speak like my lawyer. Then what do they want? They don't want justice.
They want to hear what is pleasant for them.
Exactly.
Mm. We all only want to hear what works for us.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to face the truth.
Correct.
Now, speaking of justice,
yeah,
you dispense it at a human level, and then we have the Lord of all Lords,
correct,
our beloved Bhagwan,
correct,
who has also dispensed much justice and compassion in our society,
correct,
throughout his life.
Yes.
What is your greatest takeaway from Swami's life?
The greatest takeaway from Swami's life is, see, I have seen people in the organization who have prayed to God to remove all their sufferings, and I have seen Swami doing that. I have also come across people who have told Swami, don't remove my sufferings. It's a past karma that I have carried into this world. Let me suffer it and let me expiate it so that I am not reborn. Mm. Swami has blessed both of them. Mm. But Swami has always made it clear that he doesn't completely eradicate your karma. He probably postpones the effect of the karma.
Mm.
Though he is capable of completely eliminating.
Mm.
But Swami doesn't do that, because what we are today and what we will be in our future depends upon what we have done in the past. If Swami has to completely eliminate the effects of our past karma, see, all of us I don't think many people would do only the right things. They will think that Swami is always there.
How do you mean?
No, see, suppose I do something wrong,
hmm,
and I know that Swami will remove the effects of my past bad karma.
So you have the right to offend.
That's right.
Entitlement.
Therefore, Swami doesn't do that, and Swami should not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Will not do that.
Mm-hmm. How does your the value system that you adhere to, based on your upbringing and exposure to Swami's teachings, how does that play out with in relationship to your peers in the judiciary?
In fact, my peers in the judiciary, they don't know the secret. They only see what I am outwardly. Therefore, many of them used to come and ask me, sir, how do you manage this? In fact, we have excellent persons as my peers. Some of them used to, whenever there is a tricky question comes up, a very, very difficult case comes up before them, where they see the right on both sides or the wrong on both sides, when they are confused, I have seen many people going without sleep many nights. They used to come and tell me, sir, how do you retain your balance? I used to tell them, you see, please remember that there is a person behind. He is driving us to do what we do. You pray to him, whatever solution he gives, you just carry out. And please remember that we are in charge of a small check post. Through this check post, we shall not allow adharma to pass through. To the best of our ability, if adharma takes the garb of dharma and also passes through it without our knowledge, then that's how God has ordained it. Don't worry about it. We are not here to clean up the whole society. We will not be able to do that. When God incarnates, he himself does not achieve it 100%. If he has achieved it 100%, we imperfect beings will not be here. We are here because of that. Therefore, don't carry it too far. This, I am doing my duty, then whatever results it produces, suppose I go wrong, I mean, that's all the ability with which I am born. I don't blame anyone, but I don't also suffer, because I have applied my mind, I have applied my conscience to it, that's all.
You know, in a society like ours, where we have different wings of government, judiciary is one, and we're supposed to be in a system of checks and balances.
Yes.
What role do you, and Baba has assured us that it's only a matter of time.
Yes.
But India will emerge, and Bharat will emerge as the leader, and there will be what he refers to as Ram Rajya, or a golden age.
Yes.
What role do you see judiciary playing in that?
The In fact, when Ramarajya is established, in the true sense, in the sense in which Bhagavan means it, not what the outside world actually take it to mean. Bhagavan says Ramarajya means we install Lord, everyone installs Lord Rama in their own minds, because Rama is an ideal. Bhagavan lived as an ideal person, Ramo Vigrahavan Dharmaha. So when that stage comes, I think people will know what is right and what is wrong. And I don't know whether the judiciary will be in existence in such a Rajya at all.
And the backlog will be gone.
Will be gone.
Hopefully.
Because people would have realized the futility of fighting for a wrong cause. Mm-hmm. So maybe I may lose my employment in Ramarajya.
And I think you'll be pretty glad and relaxed to do so.
Definitely, certainly. If people don't fight, that's good.
Is there room for bringing in Swami's human values into the legal education system of India?
Certainly it should be done, actually. According to me, the difficulty with the legal profession is that what they teach in law schools is not really to find out what is right and wrong, what is true and false. Probably they train students to twist what is right as wrong and what is wrong as right. They develop the intelligence of the students in such a manner that anything is all right. Many lawyers, when they fight for wrong causes, I have asked this question. They used to say, I am advancing the cause of my client. There is a judge to decide what is right and what is wrong. Why should I bother about it? Mm-hmm. But I do not think that this is a product of a valueless legal education. Mm-hmm. Such a thinking on the part of the lawyers is a legacy that we have inherited from the British legal system. Therefore, we don't, it is completely gone. On the contrary, whenever I talk to lawyers, I tell them the story of Sahadeva. Mm-hmm. Sahadeva stood as an epitome of the ethics in professional life. Sahadeva was a great astrologer. When war was imminent between Pandavas and Kauravas, Duryodhana wants to consult Sahadeva for fixing the auspicious time for giving the human sacrifice so that he can win the war. When Shakuni tells Duryodhana, how do you consult Sahadeva? He's on the opposite side. Duryodhana says, Sahadevan is a professional. He shall never tell a lie to a client who consults him. Mm-hmm. A man on the opposite side who is going to kill you, he comes to Sahadeva. When Krishna tells Sahadeva, please don't give him fix the right auspicious time for him. You will lose the battle. You will not only lose your battle, you will also die. Sahadeva says, how can a professional ill advise a client?
He questions Krishna's suggestion.
I will not do that. Let me die. But I cannot fail my shastras. The shastras which I have studied, I cannot fail. So he fixes the auspicious time. Then Krishna alters that auspicious time by his own divine intervention. I would like lawyers to do that and leave the rest to Swami to make an alteration of the time, but not. That is the kind of professional ethics that the legal system should have.
Wow, that is quite an example, I must say. Sir, if I may just rewind here, you attended the 1977 summer course.
Yes.
Did you have opportunities to interact with Swami, and was there any special memories you carry from that time?
Actually, I didn't have an opportunity to interact with Swami personally, because there were, you know, as in those days, the summer courses, huge crowd.
Yes.
In fact, they had to select two students from every state. After a stiff competition, I got selected to be part of the group sent from Madras. For every district will have to send two. So I was part of the state the whole of the month of May 1977 in Vrindavan. We had excellent memories. Swami used to give a lecture the entire month. Every day evening, Swami lectured on Krishna Avatar. That was how it was. Great people had come and taken classes for us. In fact, when those notes are retained by me, I did not know the value. As a college student, see, I was also playful. And I don't think I need to be blamed, but I did not realize the importance and the high profile of people who took classes for us. For example, one person came and took classes on astrology, because the summer course was about Indian culture and spirituality. Everything was included there. One person came and took classes on astrology. I have written down his name in my note. I did not understand what astrology was, etc. Now I know that that class was taken by no less a person than Dr. B.V. Raman, who is considered to be the father of modern Indian astrology. I now know his value, but he is not there. When he was there, I did not know his value. This is one lesson which I learned from our summer course. Many people taught us the crux of the Ramayana, Mahabharata. Swami gave lectures on Krishnavatara. Swami, in fact, one day spoke about the ordeals that he has undergone in his younger days while going to school without any footwear, carrying water for the house, all that. People, the whole audience wept that day to hear from Swamiji the ordeals that he underwent in his childhood. So it was great to be, it was an education that went into our mind to be embedded forever. That was the most significant thing.
So given your background and that of your parents, you're like a hardcore Sevadal family. What are your suggestions for future generations of Sevadal and other Sai students and active workers? And especially for the younger generation that, as you mentioned earlier, has not had direct interaction with Swami. So they're hearing it from another source or learning about it, whether it's from Radio Sai or from people who had lived with Baba. Now, that is one part. And the other is, how do young families going forward make Swami the center stage of their lives, as he was in your case, in your family?
How I perceive it is actually, I have seen both families getting involved like mine and children whose parents were not devotees, but children who brought their parents into the fold. That also I have seen. What I think we should do is, today, the mindset of both parents and the children is completely changed. All of us are driving, all the parents are driving children mad. Once, you know, I don't know whether after 9th standard, there are many dropouts in Balavikas. Because when people reach 9th standard and 10th standard, it becomes a mad rush for all kinds of competitive examinations.
And coaching classes.
Coaching classes. Yeah. Therefore, children are, the first thing that they would like to pull their children out will be from Balavikas or Pre-Sevadal, because they think it's not going to get them a seat in the medical college.
Little realizing how important it is for their life.
Exactly. We have to somehow take the message to people that becoming a good doctor, you may make your son a good doctor, a good engineer, good lawyer, a good bureaucrat, but more than that, you must make him a good human being. If you do not make him a good human being, his being a doctor, lawyer, engineer is not going to bear fruit either to the family or to himself or to society. That is a message that actually one generation of people have failed to take home. So therefore, in my humble opinion, I think we will have to take it to the parents and tell them that, see, life is not, it's not, achievement is not the only thing that matters in life. People who achieve but who are not ultimately happy. People who are happy, who have never achieved anything. In fact, I have seen all people who have achieved greater heights in life, they envy very poor people who are happy in life because they are themselves not happy. So ultimately, what benefit that these material things bring into, this is something which we have to focus. And it is good if families come together, because if families that come together to Sai fold, families always stay together. The kind of bond that they develop among the members of the family and the bond that they develop with the outside world is so great when a family comes into Sai fold. Then it is not, your value is not measured by your success, your accomplishments, but your happiness index. People have forgotten this happiness index. It is replaced by the success index. We will have, this is the message that I think we will have to impress upon the next generation. And the more and more the children are involved, the more and more society will prosper. Mm-hmm. Prosper in the sense, not that material prosperity.
Sir, hearing your sage advice, I would like to learn from you what you think is the right path to take for devotees in the light of Bhagwan's departure from the physical form, and how best to connect with him after Mahasamadhi.
It's good that you asked this question, ma'am. Actually, after Swami's Mahasamadhi, I was requested to give a talk in Sundaram in Madras. How I perceived Swami's physical, we have always had Swami's physical appearance. First time we had Swami's physical disappearance. So, I thought today, there is no, in a lighter vein, I thought in Puttaparthi, now there is no craving for the first row, the first seat, the VIP enclosure, nothing, because Swami has become equidistant to all of us in the physical form.
He's as close or as far as the distance
as
between
your mind
our
is.
Heart.
Exactly, as your mind is. Today, I sit next to Bhagavan, depending upon my love and devotion to him. I sit far away in the corner of Kulwant Hall if I am not connected to him. Today, from the physical body, Stula Sharira, he has gone into that astral body. Therefore, we will have to pick up the wavelength. If your mobile instrument, is not actually fine-tuned to pick up the signals from Bhagavan, then you will always have this connectivity problem. Therefore, we will have to fine-tune the mobile phone of our mind to be able to receive the signals from Bhagavan. And he gives it in abundance to every person whose mobile instrument works. If your instrument does not work, you don't get it, that's all.
Very well said, sir. And we all need to keep good signal.
Yes,
connectivity and signal.
Connectivity, yes.
And that takes effort.
That takes effort.
Regular
takes
discipline.
Effort. Regular discipline, definitely. Swadhyaya.
And I think we are all, each of us is capable of it because that's what Swami taught us.
Correct.
You've seen this Sai mission from its early days to where it is today. How do you perceive us by the time it's Swami's 100th birthday?
It's really going to be great, ma'am, because one observation that I these are observations which we make with very little, perceptions. But people who have seen Swami in the physical form who were near to him, I don't mean who were dear to him. The Swami always made a distinction between people who were near to him and who were dear to him. People who were seen as near to him,
that is physically.
Physically. Hmm. Are not now there. People who are dear to him, whether they live in this world or they don't live in this world, they always continue to remain. Therefore, every avatar was best understood. Our mythology teaches us that every avatar was best understood only after the physical form disappeared.
Because hindsight is 20/20.
Yes. I am not talking about the avatars of the Hindu mythology. You take the mythology of any religion.
Whether it was Jesus or Buddha.
They were most misunderstood when they were available in the physical form.
Hmm.
The mission grew million times more only when they took away their physical form, because people are able to understand the wavelengths or the what is available in the atmosphere much better than what it is in a condensed form of 5 feet height and about 60 kg weight.
Hmm. 54 kilo weight.
Yes.
He was very precise.
Yes, yes.
I see. Now, your love for Prashanthi Nilayam, it continues even after Mahasamadhi.
Yes, yes.
Has it grown? Is it the same?
It's the same. It's the same.
And why do you find the need to be here for Ugadi?
Actually, I should tell you the truth. I was to come tomorrow, but I had a commitment in Madras tomorrow.
Okay.
So I generally don't take off on a working day, but this is something special. Therefore, something interesting. Since I was always in Tamil Nadu throughout my life, but for the past about 11 months, I have always come here for Tamil New Year's Day. Since this is the first time I am in Hyderabad on a Ugadi, I thought in fact, according to Swami, every day is a new year.
Yeah.
If we are born He said, every year is a birthday, every day is a birthday if we are born afresh. And every day is a new year also.
That is true. So my final question to you is, who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba for the Honorable Justice V. Ramasubramanian of the Telangana and Andhra Pradesh High Court?
He is everything for me.
Please define everything.
Everything in the sense, annam, pranam, vijnanam, jnanam, anandam, everything.
So would you care to translate those terms for our listeners who may not know Sanskrit?
Yeah. Actually, why I say this is even when Bhrigu,
the sage,
his son asks him what is Brahman. He asks him to go and meditate and find out. He gives a definition, that from which everything comes, that on account of which everything is sustained, and that into which everything merges is Brahman.
Or the ultimate reality.
The ultimate reality. Then he thinks it is annam, matter. Sage says no. Then he says it is pranam. It is because of breath that
life everything force.
Life force. He says no. Then he says manam, manas. He says no.
Mind.
Then he says vijnanam, intellect. He says no. Thereafter the boy goes and he never returns. The sage goes there to see what has happened. He is immersed in ananda.
Bliss.
Bliss. Then the father asks him, why have you not come back to me to check? He said, I don't need to check with you. Now I have realized it.
I found my bliss.
That's right. And so therefore, that in that sense, Swami is everything.
Wow. It's been a great humbling experience to chat with you, sir. Thank you so very much for your presence today.
Thank you, Sairam.
Sairam. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory. Today is the 7th of September 2017, and you just heard our exclusive Trisvir Divinity interview with the Honorable Justice Sri V. Ramasubramanian. I request your feedback to this interview, and I hope you found it as enlightening as I did. I even enjoyed re-listening to it all over again today. Now, last week I had posed a question to our listeners. Oh, by the way, to reach us, please email me your feedback, thoughts or comments about this particular interview or any other offering from Radio Sai. And our feedback line remains listener@radiosai.org. Now, as you may recall, last week I had posed a question to our very discerning listeners. And I asked them, how does Baba reach out to you via Radio Sai? I've got a number of answers, and if I missed your email or answer, just send me an email and I'll read out yours next week. But I'm just reading some of the highlights because people have really shared so candidly, and I want to thank everybody who responded. I never expected that people would be so forthcoming, our listeners. It's wonderful to know, and I'm going to share all this feedback with all my colleagues out of great joy and gratitude that Swami is reaching out to you through Radio Sai, and all of us are so grateful to be part of this adventure, the divine adventure. One of the first responses that I will share with you is from Sri Devendra Kumar, who says, dear Radio Sai team, my loving Sairam, heartiest congratulations and thanks for the 15th anniversary celebrations of Swami's visit to Radio Sai, the channel of pure love. Thank you for being the panacea for our mind. And he goes on to say that he wants to list his fantastic experiences. He says, and I quote, I learn, I admire, I love with all my heart the unbeatable professionalism and utmost love contained in this Radio Sai. My gratitude, my salutation, my reverence and love to Swami and the master architects, spiritual doctors who prescribe the Vedantic knowledge, dispensers, managers and everybody, plus including the passive elements of microphones, equalizers, internet, computer and everything in blessing that is used in blessing us in this exercise of spiritual transformation. Then Mr. Devendra Kumar goes on to list how Swami reaches out to him via Radio Sai. Number one on the list is Sai Inspires, the ultimate daily booster. Then the Sai Spiritual Showers, which is a weekly mailer. And he says he loves our archive page because the search is very easy and he's able to find things he had missed out and re-listen to them at his own convenience. Finally, he says he finds the Radio Sai team so courteous and so loving in serving all that we ask for. Apparently, he had approached us for the Sai Gayatri chant and they helped him to find it and share. Sri Devendra Kumar is also very generous in saying that he learns proper English and vocabulary as he keeps reading and listening through our programs. He also loves our Facebook page for Radio Sai, which is facebook.com/Radio Sai. And by the way, dear listeners, I just want you to know you don't have to be a Facebook user to enjoy our page. Anybody can go there. Then he highlights that Thursday Live is the heart of the entire program. Shri Devendra Kumar says, it is the heartbeat. The full packing of 15 plus hours is so loving that I keep listening the whole week until I digest all the messages conveyed and shared. I eagerly await for the next program. Also, the schedule for Thursday Live is posted on Facebook. Devotees who have had personal experiences with Swami share with us their learning and assuring message is so, and their assuring message is so heartening and loving. It is like hearing from the messenger sent by Swami. He also loves the YouTube page, and his favorites include live telecast, recording Golden History, Divine Darshan, Sai Sings, Uncle Lion's Tales, Sai Jukebox, when singing Soul Speak, and many videos of respectable Professor G. Venkatraman, sir. With love, Devendra Kumar. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your feedback. And we are so glad that you feel a connect with Swami through Radio Sai. We are honored to have listeners such as yourself. Next, I want to read a feedback from Radio Sai's very own volunteer, Miss Aarti Krishnan of Chennai. Aarti is a young lady who has been a pillar of great support to our team. And she does tons and hours of work for us with amazing dedication. And she's one of the many people who work behind the scenes to bring what we bring to you on Radio Sai. Aarti says, and I quote her, Swami has indeed used Radio Sai to pull me closer and closer to him in the last few years, especially since the beginning of 2010, and more so after I began volunteering for Radio Sai. From the episode of Golden Story on 7th August 2017, titled Talent is a Gift from God to be Offered Back to Him, I have learned so much. He said there are two powerful messages from this video clip. The first, as the title says, that whatever talent we have from God, it should be offered back to Him. And the second message is that the doctor merely treats the patient, but it is God who cures. This message was personally very significant to me because I am currently undergoing a health issue, which is making me suffer every single day. And I don't know when I will be completely cured. I realize that I must pray to Swami for it, as He alone can cure me, even though I meet the doctor and get treated by Him. From the August 31st, 2017 episode of Vahini Satsang, in the late last hour of Thursday Live, she heard Bhagya Sir mention, Bhagya Sir said in the Vahini Satsang, I believe on 31st, that in the Purnachandra Auditorium, Swami was once talking about Sakubai, Radha, Draupadi and such other great devotees. He then told that daily he receives millions of letters. Bhagya Sir asked, Swami, millions of letters? Swami said, yes, asking for this and that. Not physical letter, but even if people pray mentally, I receive them. Very simple. I don't pick up all the letters and read them and answer. My general law of karma settles most of them. Unquote. Then Bhagya Sir asked, Swami, we see that invariably great devotees of God undergo so many problems. Have they all done so much bad karma in the past? Why do they suffer so much? Swami laughed and replied, no. Sometimes I pick up devotees who are fully attuned to me and have full faith in me. Whatever they go through in life, their faith will not shake. It is not because of their karma. But I make them undergo various ups and downs only to make them ideal examples for the world, showing how to face life with problems in spite of being great devotees of God. Seeing such great devotees, ordinary people will think, oh, such great devotees themselves had so many problems, then who are we? We better continue to have faith and face all difficulties in life. Aarti goes on to say, I took consolation from hearing this. That is because I have been wondering whether I am suffering so much, especially due to ill health, because of so much past bad karma. But today when I heard this explanation, I felt consoled. It really answered the question in my heart. She goes on to say, yes, I crib and cry when things become too unbearable, and I fight with God because physically I feel so exhausted, but beneath all this turbulence in my heart, there is the deep faith that Swami is my God, He knows what is best for me, and He is allowing all this to happen. It is all for my highest good. Love and Sairam, Aarti. Thank you, Aarti, for sharing that. That was Aarti Krishnan from Chennai, a Radio Sai volunteer. Next, I have a feedback from Purna Jankiraman from Sharda. She says that I'm from Sharja, and about the time when her daughter started going to Balvikas, somehow around the same time her husband started getting Sai Inspires messages, and the source is not known till today. and she found them very inspiring. And as she was reading the messages, she says, and I quote her, "I happened to see the Radio Sai icon at the bottom and I clicked. One thing led to another. I came to know all about Radio Sai and its programs." Purna says, "I feel the programs are specially designed for me. For instance, once I got an instinct and started feeding the birds that visited the room windows with some grains and water. Guess what? That week's afternoon satsang was all about birds and taking care of them. I took it as an approval from Swami. In another incident, I wanted to read Ram Katha Raswahini, but as I don't have a habit of reading, because I fall asleep as soon as I start reading, that used to happen to most of us during exam time, not anymore. She says, I preferred listening. As a surprise, Ram Katha Raswahini was started in the afternoon satsang program. The same thing happened with Prema Vahini, which is currently going on. Purna says, Swami not only helps in spiritual matters, but also in day-to-day requirements through Radio Sai. Once it so happened that my daughter had to speak on a general topic at school in English. She only told me early in the morning before leaving for school. As I had listened to Brother Bishop Prushti's program the previous day, in which he had spoken about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, I quickly wrote up a small speech for her. She gave the speech and it was successful. Adding to this, that year she also got an award in her school for her overall best performance in English. Thanks to Radio Sai, I get answers to all my queries, and my connection to Swami is only through Radio Sai. Listening to Radio Sai has definitely made me a better person. Gratitude to Swami for showing me this website. Nowadays I never feel lonely, as I know that Radio Sai is a great companion for me. Thank you." Thank you, Sister Purna Jankiraman from Sharjah, for sharing your thoughts with us. And finally, I have a feedback from the United Kingdom, from London. This is from Brother Mukesh Sangharja. Brother Mukesh, I hope I'm pronouncing the last name correctly. Brother Mukesh Sangharja says, "Saram, Sister Karuna, Radio Sai is the daily connection to Swami. All the programs presented are candid and give excellent messages on Swami's teachings. Trust with divinity is like being in interview with Swami. Hearing personal experiences and how people have followed Swami's instructions is great inspiration. Please continue to provide this excellent service with Swami's blessings. With love, Mukesh Sangharja, London, UK." Thank you, Brother Mukesh, Purna, Aarti and Sri Devendra Kumarji. You're all our sisters and brothers, and we enjoy this journey with you as much as you do, because everything here is honestly being done by Bhagwan, guided by Bhagwan, scheduled by Bhagwan, produced by Bhagwan. We just try to remember to just catch on to the grace that is ever flowing here. And all of us also feel connected with Swami through working at Radio Sai. So I think the feeling of gratitude is mutual, and it's very nice of all of you to connect with us and share this with us. Now, dear listeners, I have had the privilege over the last few years to record two interviews from a particular team. We have done so many Seva interviews. Some just stay in your mind, and they really leave a very strong impression, a deep impression. And for me, it has been the honor and pleasure to hear the amazing turbocharged loving Seva activities that are being conducted in a place called Bhavnagar in Gujarat in West India. And I've done one detailed interview with them in Hindi, which I'm not going to play in Morning Glory, but when we schedule it for playing in our regular programs, I will inform you, so that those of you who understand Hindi, you will love it. Agar aapko Hindi samajh aati hai, bhaiyo aur behno, aapko ye interview sunna ekdam avashyak hai aapke liye, kyunki maine aaj tak itna pyar aur itni shraddha aur itna josh ke saath kisi ko seva karte hue seva ke bare mein batate hue suna nahi hai. When this team from Gujarat talks about the work they do and the difference they make and the zest with which they do, if one person is talking, the six behind who are sitting are all shedding tears. And these are just tears of bliss, because they feel so connected with Swami when they perform their seva. There is this element of purity and sincerity and total surrender in what they do. And some of the things they do are really groundbreaking. For example, I did not know that Bhavnagar is the only railway platform or station in the whole of this country which is on the end of the western railway line, and it has all women's crew of coolies. These are porters who carry your tough luggage. on their backs. These are women. These are young girls and old women and women in their childbearing years who carry all the physique. And these are not women who go to gym to lift weights and build bodies. They do it because this is how they earn their livelihood, and then they go home and they cook and clean and wash. And our SAI organization, the work that it does there on that platform, you have to hear it to believe it. So there's a longer interview which we're going to schedule it in our general program, and I will tell you perhaps next week on Morning Glory when the Hindi interview will come up. Today I'm going to play the shorter English interview from the SAI Samiti in a Seva organization of Bhavnagar in Gujarat, and I urge you all to listen to them because there is such power to connect with God and to connect with our own goodness and our inner higher aspirations if we follow what Swami says, because service to man is service to God. It sounds like such a simple sentence, but if we really embrace it and don't mind the pain, the hard work, the sacrifice that is involved, the bliss is so intense. Though these are stories which inspire all of us, and for me to just sit and listen to them, my guest is crying, my heart is just pounding. I'm like, oh God, Swami, there is so much goodness happening in your divine name. And I'm so glad, dear sisters and brothers, to share that with you today. A Seva interview from the team from Bhavnagar in Gujarat. Please listen, please enjoy, and do not forget to send us your feedback. listener@radiosai.org. With that, I bid you Sai Ram, and I wish you a wonderful day ahead. Till we meet next Thursday, Jai Sai Ram, and please be well.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to a special conversation. This is a little discussion with a group of very active and dynamic and dedicated Sai Sevaks from the city of Bhavnagar in the state of Gujarat. Across this great nation of Bharat, service activities are taking place every minute, every hour in every state of India. And one such state where the seva dal is really very vibrant is the state of Gujarat. And in Gujarat, in the city of Bhavnagar, under the dynamic leadership of their district president, who is Mr. Ashish Shah, a very seva-driven person, the team there is involved in many initiatives to bring about social change and follow Swami's teachings that service to man is service to God. And to give us a quick update on some of the highlights of the service activities, we have with us three brothers from Bhavnagar, Mr. Pratap Makodia, Mr. Pankaj Oza, and Mr. Prashant Lazure. Sai Ram to all of you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
And welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, madam.
Brother Pratap Makodia, can you bring us up to speed with some of the highlights of the many things? Apparently your Seva Samiti is active and vibrant 7 days a week. So if you can bring us up to speed about some of the activities you undertake.
First of all, my humble pranam in lotus feet of our beloved Swami. And regarding our Samiti activities, we are doing since last so many years.
That is true.
There are, we are doing Nayan Seva, Education Seva, Social Seva, Medical Seva, all are doing well. The credit goes to our district president, Mr. Ashish Shah, who is very dynamic person. He is committed to Seva, and he is doing so many, and also he has a very good group of Seva Dal who can work for it. So, first of all, we are very much thankful to him first.
Actually, I've had the honor of interviewing him. I understand he's very committed to Seva.
Yes.
And he said it was all because Swami was inspiring him so much. It was Swami who was guiding every step of
the
way.
Right, madam. Now, regarding the Narayan Seva, each month, regularly, we are doing 200 to 250 food packets to the slum area family. And this type of work and other this distribution of food, once or twice in a week we are doing.
What is in a food packet when you say?
One puri, saag and one sweet.
So there's puris and a green vegetable and a dessert, a sweet. Nice food packet.
Yes.
Sounds
and
delicious.
And also we have got donor for that. People from outside, they will say, collect the food packets from us and you distribute.
Oh.
So people are aware of that.
How many puris in a packet?
10.
Oh, very sumptuous. Very satisfying, yeah.
And recently we have given 80 family cooking kit in which 4 kilo atta,
wheat flour,
and 1 kilo sugar, 1 kilo groundnut oil, and 1 kilo khichdi.
Khichdi mix like a...
rice and dal. That is... So, each poor family will get one kit. Old age home we are doing, where the old couple, rather, I would say, they are staying there, and in a month, once or twice, we are giving them full dinner, and also to old women, we are giving sarees, clothes. So, that is on festival days only. And regularly, once in a month, to civil hospital patient, those four came for dialysis, we are providing them ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Are they allowed to eat when they are on dialysis?
Yes, first we are asking authority.
Uh-huh.
First we take permission, and then we will give anything. But ice cream, they are accepting.
Mm-hmm. In that severe heat, it must be such a nice thing to have a treat of ice cream.
Correct. Also, in these summer days,
yes,
we are distributing buttermilk at public place.
That's a great service when you are dealing with 40 plus degrees Celsius temperature. My God.
In Gujarat, it is 40 plus.
Yeah.
And at noon time also.
Peak of the heat.
At peak hours, we are doing this.
Quenching their thirst.
Yes. And also, tiffin seva we are providing. Every month, around 100 tiffins we are giving to the civil hospital.
What does it mean, tiffin? Like a tiffin carrier?
Tiffin means carrier, yes.
Okay, so you give a whole lunch box
whole
with
lunch
different tier boxes lined up.
And that is for not patient.
For the attendant.
For attendants we are giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And also we are doing the excess food in some occasion, like marriage or koi party.
So you collect the excess food?
Yeah, we are collect the excess food that they are not using. That the food we collecting and we are distributing to the slum area and poor people.
Very good service. Why waste it?
This type of all Narayan Seva is being done. Our some activities to involve non-devotees in our activity or to spread the Swami's message to other people, those who are not knowing anything about Swami. So in that activity, our ladies wing is very active. They are arranging bhajan antakshari. In that antakshari, our bhajans are always there.
Hmm.
But we are allowing non-devotees to sing any
bhajan.
Spiritual bhajan.
Okay.
So that they can involve. And some game like musical chair and mehndi competition.
Henna is painting on the hands.
Yes, painting on a hand.
Yeah.
A food item competition.
Cooking.
No, not cooking. They will prepare at home.
Home and bring.
And bring.
Okay.
It. And judge will inquire about it.
Okay.
We'll collect the details. Mm. How you make, what you use like that.
Mm.
And they will judge. In every competition, we are giving prize one, first, second, third, like that. And also consolation prize to all.
Mm-hmm.
And then aarti decoration competition.
How to decorate the aarti thali?
Yes, thali, aarti thali to decorate.
The aarti plate. Okay.
They bring from the home.
Because Gujaratis are very creative and very good with rangoli and design and
right.
So it's a nice...
And garba decoration competition. This type of activities ladies wings are doing so that other people from outside, they can involve, and when they came, then we are informing all our activities of our Swami's mission and everything, so that they can join with us. Also, we are trying to bring youth of particularly non-devotee in our Prashanti Seva. This year also, we bring around 10 or 15 youth first time in this Seva. And they are very happy also. So this way we are involving them in our activities. And to spread Swami message further, also we are taking the help of our local media.
How do you do that?
Local media has taken our interview, video interview.
So it's on the local cable TV?
Cable.
Mm-hmm.
And we have informed all these things of our activities. And they have recorded and they have promised us to broadcast this interview regularly once in a month.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people must know about the activities of the Bhavnagar Sai Samiti.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and also on WhatsApp and Facebook, we are daily putting the message, photos, videos, everything.
So you're using social media very effectively.
All the people in the group or will know our activity, and it has a very great impact. So many people has come forward with this their offer. Please, you take amount from us and do this seva. You are doing very well, and this type of work, if you are doing, we will help you.
Oh, that's very good. Community involvement and response.
Also, we are inviting other social worker, not our Sai Institute, but other institute. They are also doing a seva work. And we are calling them at our center, and we are appreciating them. You are doing very, very well. And also we give them our sign literature and these photos of Swamis, so that they can also know about Swami and Swami's mission. So this way we are spreading this, our Swami's message, to other institutes also. Also we are arranging in our Gujarati, it is called Lok Daira.
Mm-hmm.
This is a folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this type of occasion, many public is gathering together, and there we are spreading with Swami message, everything, and also anti-addiction
messages.
Yes, message
which
also.
Are of, I'm sure, a great benefit to the community.
Correct.
Is addiction a problem in rural Gujarat?
In village area, and there is
alcoholism?
Alcoholic. People are not aware.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a dry state.
Right.
It is a dry state, right? Alcohol sale is state. Illegal. So illegally they can buy it. And
illegal,
sell.
Yes. Okay. There is a illegal.
Mm-hmm.
In our bhajan center, we are putting a video show of our Swami. During the bhajan, we mute the voice. And during the bhajan, people are seeing Swami as darshan and enjoying the bhajan.
It's like in being in Prashanti when Swami was walking around
was
during
right,
bhajan.
Yeah,
similar
yeah.
experience.
Well, so many people are coming nowadays who have not seen Swami. And how he was giving darshan, how he was walking among the...
What do you think is the reason that people who have never seen Swami are now coming to Swami?
Yes. That's, there are so many people.
Why are they coming? What is drawing them? What is bringing them?
Because, first of all, they see the all activities and messages of Swami. So it is very true. They confess. It is, his message is very true. And also, they feel very silent and peaceful atmosphere in our center. And some, they are also feeling some vibrations.
Mm.
One example I will tell you. In our ladies wing mehndi competition, one girl was from Mohammedan caste.
Right. Community.
Mohammedan community. And we are collecting all the phone numbers from every participants so that we can inform them whenever this type of competition are there.
Mm.
But she was not ready to give her number.
Mm. But the Mohammedan community is very good with henna.
They are very artistic. Yes, very artistic.
Very artistic.
And she got the first number.
Oh, obviously, because I'm not surprised. Mm.
So, initially, she was not ready to give the phone number. And after the completion of this whole competition, she told, okay, I found very much peace and so many vibration so that I can come at any time whenever you call. So you please take my number, she told.
So much trust she developed in such just by visiting the place. It has that effect, right? Holy places have that impact.
Yes. Also, we are arranging some health awareness program, seminar, by different types of doctors. So, these all activities we are doing at our center hall.
So, is it open? How many days a week is it open, the Bhavnagar Samiti?
Samiti has got its own hall.
Yeah, it has its own hall. So do you open every day of the week or only
on Thursday?
Thursday. And but the activities are happening all
on
day.
On Sundays.
Okay.
We are also doing medical services at our permanent center. We in Bhavnagar, our Samiti has a permanent medical center where in a week, 3 days, there is a general OPD. Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday. Also fortnightly on Saturday, lady doctor is available for ladies and children.
Hmm.
On Sunday, we are keeping different types of camps. On every Sunday, there is a heart camp. For heart disease, our doctor examine the patient and if required, we are taking cardiogram. Further, if required, we are sending him for angiography at a local corporate hospital. And if after angiography, bypass is necessary, we are sending him to our Rajkot hospital.
The Satya Sai
Hospital.
Now, when you say send them for angiography, do you support them in any way? Do you pay for it?
Yeah, patient has to pay nothing. But we have tie up with the hospital so that for our patient, they will give us concession. And that concession amount, we will pay.
The Samiti pays.
Yeah, Samiti will pay to.
Where do these different camps take place? The one for ladies, children?
There is a Shiv Shakti Hall at Bhavnagar. And permanently, we are fixing the camp there only.
I see.
There is only one place. Also, twice in a month, fortnightly, we are having an eye camp for cataract. Also, we are distributing these facts free of charge. And also, cataract operation also we are performing. That we are deciding the patient and then we send the patient to the doctor's hospital. And we are paying the doctors for that, but patient has to pay nothing. Same way, at every month, twice in a month, urology camp is there. We are examining the urology patient. If laboratory examination is required, if X-ray is required, that also we are tied up with laboratories and hospital. And we are performing this free of cost to the patient. Also, two camps in a month, orthopedic camps. There also we provide laboratory and X-rays also to patients. Likewise, so this type of activities we are doing, and occasionally we are arranging some health checkup camps or blood donation camps at different area in Bhavnagar or around Bhavnagar.
Now, my question is, you know, this system, the model that you have set up where you do the screening of the patient.
Yes.
And if they require further treatment, you direct them to specific medical doctors or facilities or labs, and they get looked after and you bear the burden. How did you make those arrangements with those doctors, with those labs, to support your effort? How does that work?
Doctors, they are not paid anything at all, because they are also kind enough to make this seva.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a
but
good
if somebody
part.
Does an angioplasty, they need they don't, the doctor doesn't charge you.
We are not
referring them to local hospitals for getting the angio done.
Angiography, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
For angiography, does not the Sai Samiti have to pay?
Yes,
you pay for it, but at a concession rate.
Concession rate.
How did you convince these facilities or these doctors to give these big concessions and to work with you?
Yes, we consult them, and telling them that we are doing seva.
Okay.
This type of work you will get in bulk, because every week. At least on an average 3-4 angiography is there. So you will get also the amount. So they agreed. Likewise, this laboratory and X-ray. So we are getting the benefit of that.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Pratap Makodia, for that update. And now I'm happy to have Brother Prashant Lasure to give us further information about some of the seva activities taking place at the Sai Samiti in Bhavnagar, Gujarat. Sairam, Brother Prashant.
Sairam, ma'am. My pranam at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. I'm very happy to say something about our Bhavnagar Samiti.
Please.
My senior, Mr. Pratap Mankodia, has briefed you about activities for Narayan Seva and Education Seva. Basically, I should first introduce what is Bhavnagar. Bhavnagar is past rural state, and Bhavnagar is associated with sea.
I see. It's close
and
to the ocean.
Asia's big ship breaking yard, it is at Alang.
Okay.
So, all ships for breaking process comes to Bhavnagar. So, naturally, in India, from UP state, Bihar state, so many workers came for the purpose of job.
So it's a graveyard for ships.
Ships. And on the basis of ships, other industries are working in Bhavnagar.
I see.
So looking to old rural state and their old styles of working. So, you know, if you'll go to Bhavnagar, you will find so many trees, peacock, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I should say it is blessed by Bhagwan. Swami came to Bhavnagar in 1967, and Swami has inaugurated foundation stone of Shirdi Sai Mandir, where presently so many activities are going on. So first of all, I should say that after reaching to Gujarat, after this seva, May seva, we are going to inaugurate and fix Swami's big photograph at Shirdi Sai Mandir, where Swami came. People of Bhavnagar knows the activity of Satya Sai organization, and our district president Mr. Ashish Shah is highly connected with social media, political media, and so many people. The people of Bhavnagar used to know the activities of Satya Sai organization. Because of Ashish Bhai's so many efforts, the youth and young generation, I mean to say, as well as old generation, are collectively serving for Bhagwan. So, in civil hospital or old age home, if any person dies and nobody is going to perform or look after for that body or that person, Satya Sai organization and Ashish Bhai's team, I must say thanks to Bhagwan, they are carrying out
all the last rites of that person who has no family.
All the funeral activities.
So what a noble cause.
It's true.
Hmm.
Initially, they have started this work. After, you know, government agency, and they came to know that these Satya Sai organization are ready to do these activities.
Hmm.
So they found very easy. That this Satya Sai organization will carry out this funeral process and other activities.
I remember when I was talking to Brother Ashish Shah, some years ago, and he was telling me all the things he does. So I was wondering, when do you work and how do you make a living? And he said, even without going to office, he makes a very decent living because decent. Swami takes care of everything.
I must share the best example how Swami works. Earlier, Mr. Pratap Makodia sir briefed about Bhagwan's work. He briefed something about Mehndi competition. What was happened at that time?
About that young Muslim lady. Yeah.
She was invited.
I see.
Initially, she understood, she felt that whether she will address in non-Muslim organization.
Right.
But as soon as she came, she said there, and you know our procedure, our all activities are starting with the deep lamp lighting and with three omkars.
Right.
As soon as first omkar started, she realized, she thought and she saw that Swami is coming. Second omkar, she saw his Muhammad Paigambar, Allah is coming. And at third omkar, she saw that Allah is sitting on Swami's chair. So it was great, great, great experience for her. Entire program, she was wondering. And then she felt that our Allah and Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai is same. That was wonderful experience. And then she kept coming to Bhavanagar Samiti's program. This is what I must say, that Swami is always giving acknowledgement. Yes, I am there. Sairam.
Thank you, brother, for sharing that. Sairam.
Sairam. I have already told you, Bhavanagar is the last station of railway. So, that trains which are coming for specifically ship breaking yard. So, in world, there are ladies coolies in Bhavanagar. This is not from today, but when the railways started by the British government, it was initiated that ladies coolies will work there.
Oh, so they carry the heavy luggage.
Okay. You will find ladies coolies in Bhavanagar only. So, Satya Sai organization is taking care of ladies coolies. We are organizing time to time medical camp for those people. We are distributing clothes to ladies coolies. And we are also distributing Narayan Seva
food
to ladies coolies. Brother Pratap has already briefed you regarding excess food. So in, you know, nowadays it is in high society, it is practiced to make delicious food, this and that.
In excess.
Excess. So at the end of marriage, they will find problems. How much food is excess? So, because of Ashish Bhai's relation with all the community, and they are well aware about Satya Sai organization, they will simply call Ashish Bhai. Ashish Bhai and their team, with prayers of Bhagwan, they will go, they will collect the food, and they will distribute that food to the slum and needy and very poor area.
What a treat it must be for those poor people to get that fancy fine food from those really rich weddings.
This is prasadam from Bhagwan. Sairam.
Thank you, Sairam. Thank you, Brother Prashant. And now I invite Brother Pankaj Oza to give us further details about the Sai Seva activities taking place at the Sai Samiti in Bhavnagar, Gujarat. Sairam, Brother Pankaj.
Sairam, my lotus pranam to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's. I will tell about our district president, Mr. Ashish Shah.
He is centering in this conversation a lot.
He is the only center person in our samiti. I will say about his work. He is a LIC agent. And every time he says, okay, Swami is doing my work, I am doing Swami's work.
They have a nice exchange program.
Very nice. And it is a great, I have to say that, okay, he is always number one in our branch. Though he is doing or sparing only 5% of time in his LIC's business, most of his sparing his time in our Swami's activities. So, very nice, and we are very great leadership under Sri Ashish Pai Shah.
Clearly, yes.
I will say something about our education seva.
Please
we
do.
We have adopted one village. It is a Melakadi. It is situated in Talaja in Bhavnagar Road. But they are very poor people in Melakadi. When we have adopted this village, it was a very, very backward, and there was no school even its village, and there was no any light. We have provided solar light to all the villages because it is under a hilly area, and so many times some jungly janwar,
animals like leopards
came in night. So we have thinking about this situation, and we have done solar light. And in some places, very, very poor families are there. So we have given solar fan to in his
hut,
so they can enjoy their life.
Are these individual solar panels on little homes?
Yeah.
I see.
And in street light also, we have given solar light as a street light. We have given so many books and daftars to students. At that time, very few students are there because very, very backward area. So when child will reach about 5 to 6,
right,
they will take to with father, mother, and they also doing their work
in the field.
They are helping them.
Agricultural work?
Agriculture laborers.
Laborers, okay.
Laborers.
Oh, poor children. What a lost childhood. So sad.
Then we have given too much support in school, and we have given education, educated to them, okay, to please give in school. So they coming in school, and we are distributing so many school bag, compass, notebooks, and we are giving so many foods to them. Sometimes we feel that they have not heard about any sweets name also. When we are distributing them, they asking, please give me that, give me that.
They don't know the name.
They don't know. What is this item?
Because they've never eaten fancy
gulab
food.
Jambu. They have not know about gulab jambu. They are taking, please give me this ladu. So that very, very poor families are there. We have adopted this school under our Vidya Jyoti project.
Oh, Satya Sai Vidya Jyoti. So you have to provide the infrastructure and put that school together.
Yeah. We have supplied so many benches. They have no benches. They
sit
are
in the
sitting
class
on the
floor.
Ground. So we have given so many benches to them, even water cooler and water purifier.
Water purifier, water so that they drink
purifier.
Clean water.
Yes, clean water they can get. And we have give them to so many sports activities.
Sports equipment.
Equipment.
I see. So they can play and come out and enjoy a little bit of their childhood.
Yeah. And this school is up to 7th
standard.
After 8th standard.
Yeah.
They have moved to very nearer city, village. It is 3 kilometers far from Bhandaria. It is called Bhandaria. In Bhandaria also we have adopted 2 school under Vidya Jyoti project. So 3 schools are under Vidya Jyoti projects. Melakadi and 2 schools are Bhandaria's. So we have given cycles to those students who have moved to Melakadi to Bhandaria.
To continue their education
from
grade 8 onwards, high school education.
So
nice incentive. At least they have a vehicle they can drive.
And in Melakadi also we have given a science laboratory also. And computers, so many computers also. So they can enjoy our CD, education CD, all up to 7th standard. So their teacher are also very, very nicely connected with us.
Now, this is the work that the government should be doing. So instead, the SAI organization has stepped in to provide the basic right to education that the Constitution of India guarantees, and the government has not delivered clearly in many, many villages of this country, including Melakadi in Bhavnagar. How does the local administration respond or connect to all this? There must be a district collector who is actually supposed to sanction all this. Instead, Swami's devotees are doing it. So what is the relationship like with the district collector and everybody?
When we have adopted this village, it was a 3 kilometers road. It was very, very rough road. We cannot move from even in car also. Then we have taken this project and we have talked with so many local LMA also. So they are provided their grants.
Okay.
And today it is a totally Damar road from Bhandaria to Mailakadi.
So you approached the local member of the Legislative Assembly and then he gave released the grants for constructing that road.
So many times we have invited them also.
Those local villagers must love you all.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. When we are going there, so their children are coming, running with our car, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, karke.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yeah, sir.
So Swami must be the symbol of hope and love and prosperity in their life. Do they all the homes have a picture of Swami?
So many times we have given them photos and Lady Sevadal are doing so many types of activities also. Even Lady Sevadal, they are nail cutting. Jo old age hai, old people.
For the elderly people.
Yeah. Or we are providing them full kit also. Soap and shampoo we are providing them.
Even personal hygiene.
Yeah, hygiene.
So their lives must be transformed with so much, somebody's total strangers taking so much interest in their well-being.
Yes.
That love only God can teach us. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Pratap Makodia, Brother Pankaj Oza and Brother Prashant Lasure for bringing us up to date with some of the outstanding activities, seva activities or acts of selfless love. So, and how they share Swami's love to so many people and lighten up so many lives in Bhavnagar in Gujarat. Thank you all.
Sai Ram.
And Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.